this is Jim Fry. Again, thanks for taking time out. I know you have a lot to do and listen to and hear and read and see. Lots of input out there. Lots of media and internet and radio stuff. So, again, I'm here to help people, help entrepreneurs either start a business, finance their business, expand it, maybe get some working capital, some cash flow, you know, make the dream possible, the American dream of owning your own business, being your own boss, things like that. That's what excites me, and I really like offering solutions to problems. So I won't talk too long. I'll let this conference call jump in here in a moment. But, in today's past couple years, today's market, past few years, we've seen that banks have kind of been a little bit tighter than we'd all like, perhaps. As an SBA lender, I can tell you that it was a lot easier to do a startup or an acquisition or an expansion a few years ago than it is now. And if any of you have applied for any kind of bank loan or line of credit, you've probably experienced that too. So, what other options are there? Okay, there are some unsecured loans out there. They're usually smaller loans, up to $75,000, $100,000, $125,000, unsecured lines of credit. You don't need the collateral, and as long as you have some good credit, that's a great option. And then IRAs or 401ks, you can use that. No, we're not pulling money out and paying the penalty and the taxes. No, we're not taking a loan against the 401k. There's a way to roll it over without tax consequences, and you can still invest some of it in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and you can still, and then you can invest some of it in yourself or in your new business. You can buy something, you can start a franchise, start a business, buy an existing business, and some commercial real estate in some cases. So there's lots of ways to do it, but before I babble on, let me get the expert on the phone. Greg Carson is with Guidant Financial. Guidant is one of many companies out there that do it. I work with Guidant. I work with other companies. They do the rollovers, and they will help you set this all up. And, I'm not just... Greg is here to educate you and educate me, for that matter, too. Explain how this works. Explain the options. Certainly, I think Guidant's a good firm, and Greg's a good guy to work with. There's other ones out there you can find on the internet that do this type of thing too. But the main thing is to educate you and tell you the options. So, with no further talk from me, I'll start the conference call that I recorded earlier today with Greg Carson from Guidant, and let him explain it. Thank you.
Yeah, I got your recent email too about the webinar you're putting on, so that kind of sounds like it. So I'll let you go and kind of talk about, obviously the 401k IRA solutions that you have, and also mention the unsecured type solutions that you have too. Once in a while, that's a good option too.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the basic premise. If that's where you'd like me to start, the premise with the 401k plan is that people can actually take equity that they have accumulated in by saving up in a 401k or an IRA and put that into a business that they are going to work for. And what we do for that is we set up a C corporation that would then sponsor a 401k plan. The 401k plan and the C corporation are the ownership of the client and the person that's going to run operate the business, the operator, and then they can roll over any funds that are qualified funds, so pre-tax dollar funds, so IRAs, 401ks, TSPs can be rolled over into the 401k plan. The 401k plan then is the money that's in that 401k plan is used to buy stock in the C corporation, and what that does is that gives access to the business, the funds, and it makes the 401k plan now a shareholder in the corporation. So it's a pretty basic concept, but it does work. It worked very well. We've set up over 5,000 of these in all 50 states. So we're one of the bigger providers of this product. We also have a very deep understanding and spend a lot of time on the education side of things, because as simple as it sounds, there's some basic rules also that have to be followed to keep the product compliant. And the the basic ones are, there has to be two owners, so the 401k plan cannot be a 100% owner of the C corporation. So the client has to have partial ownership of the business as well. It can be as minimal as 1% of whatever is being rolled over, but it does have to exist. Then, additionally, the business has to be an operating business, so it can't be set up simply to be an investment. It has to be a business that's going to be run and operated.
Oh, okay.
And then the other piece of it is that the 401k plan that's in place has to operate as a traditional 401k plan. So once the 401k plan is used to move money into the business, it then would operate as a traditional 401k plan. So the employee or the owner of the business is going to have to participate in the 401k plan. Again, that could be minimal participation, but it has to exist. And then that plan, if there's employees in the business, is offered to the employees. So it actually puts the owner in a position of offering a pretty good benefit to employees and also having a pretty good benefit for themselves because they can save money into the 401k plan. If they're a sole proprietor, they can offer a matching contribution that can be fairly significant. They can offer a matching contribution if they have employees too, but they have to balance that with what's going to be the most beneficial for themselves and the business too. So,
wow, I didn't know that part. Back up just a second. When the 401ks, now it has to be from a job that they're no longer working at, correct? Like they can't be working currently and contributing to a 401k and use that one, correct?
Typically, yes. The reason that is because most 401k plans are set up as retention tools for businesses. So most businesses don't allow people to just roll their funds out while they're still working and contributing to it.
Sure. Now, if let's say they have, just for example, they have $300,000 in their 401k, but they only really want or need to use, say, $150,000. Now, can they still keep, the other $150,000 in stocks, bonds, whatever, or does it all have to be rolled over?
Good question. No, absolutely, they can roll over as little or as much as they'd like. So typically, a client will roll what they need for the business. They can leave the funds in the 401k or wherever they reside currently, or they can actually, after that 401k plan set up for their business, they can roll funds into that 401k plan that won't be invested in the business. So as I mentioned, the 401k plan has to remain active. Well, the active contributions don't go into the business. The active contributions go into whatever portfolio is established for the business. So we use Fidelity a lot, but we can set the plan up based on whatever the client would like to have for, sometimes they have a local person, sometimes they have a relationship with an investment advisor they'd like to keep, that kind of thing.
Okay. So what's kind of the difference? The self-directed IRAs are more publicized or they've been around longer maybe, but what's kind of the main difference?
Great question there too. So they operate on the same basic concept where you're rolling funds into a new plan that buys stock or member units. So with a self-directed IRA, what we do is we set that up so that the self-directed IRA is established, then we set up an LLC, and the self-directed IRA will then buy the member units of the LLC. Now, with a self-directed IRA and the LLC method, that has a lot of specific rules and prohibited transactions that have to be monitored. For example, the person that is going to roll the funds over into the self-directed IRA and use them can't actually interact with those funds on an investment level. So they can't buy or sell property that they currently own. They cannot, using the retirement monies, they cannot buy property they intend to live in or utilize. And additionally, it's not just them, it's their spouse and then any lineal ascendants or descendants. So parents, grandparents, children, grandchildren are not allowed to interact with the self-directed IRA. Now, the reason it's a little bit different than the other vehicle that we talked about here where you can use 401k financing for a business is the 401k financing program, by doing that stock for cash transaction where the stock is purchased of the C corporation, that actually creates an exemption to the prohibited transaction rules. and that are created by the self-directed IRA, and it kind of flips some of the rules over, meaning you know have to work for the business, has to be a business, has to have an operating 401k, et cetera.
Okay.
Does that help explain that?
Yeah. All right. What's typically the I know it might vary slightly, but the fees, kind of basically fees for the setup, and then I know that typically there's a maintenance fee each year or something.
Sure. So for the 401k financing, the setup is $4,995. So it's a flat setup, and regardless of how much folks are rolling over, the ongoing maintenance is really related specifically to the record keeping that's required for the 401k plan. So any business that has a 401k plan has specific requirements for record keeping and compliance and non-discrimination audits and things that have to be submitted to the IRS on an annual basis. And that's all the ongoing maintenance is. It's for that purpose. We provide that usually at about 50% of market value. Our average client pays between $800 and $1,000.
Okay.
A year. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So this can be used for to buy, you know, to start up any business, really, a franchise or a mom-and-pop shop, or to buy an existing business? And is it different when they're buying real estate? Or is it just the same process?
Well, you mean buying real estate for the business?
Yes. Yeah.
There's no difference. Well, there's a couple of things that you have to consider there. First of all, yes, they can use this vehicle to buy any kind or start any kind of business, as long as it's an operating business and as long as they're going to work for the business. Now, I mentioned that it has to be an operating business several times now. The measures of that are whether the client has to kind of maintain that they have to work for the business minimum of 1,000 hours a year. So they can't buy a business to just invest in. They have to work in that business and they have to, like I said before, participate in the 401k plan. Those are kind of the monitors that are used there. So as long as it's an operating business and as long as they're working for that business and paying themselves a salary from that business, they can do any kind of business that they'd like. That business can own real estate, so if they want to buy the real estate that the business is going to be on, they can use these funds to do that. That's not a problem. One of the things that they can't do is they can't already own the real estate personally, not buy it, but operate the business on that real estate and then pay rent to themselves for that. So that's considered a prohibited transaction, because anything that's going to operate from the C corporation has to be owned by the C corporation, or they have to be leasing it from an unrelated third party.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that either. Okay. That's good to know. What are some reasons why why this might be a good solution? You know, if someone's weighing the SBA loan versus this solution, as long as they have sufficient in their 401k, what are some of the pros and cons of either? Obviously, it's other people's money with SBA, but this, mm-hmm. I don't know. Obviously, in today's market, I see that people are having more trouble getting SBA loans and bank financing in general. But
absolutely,
just some of the highlights. What the pluses and minuses?
Well, I'd say that there's more pluses than minuses. Obviously, you already mentioned the first plus. That is, right now SBA funding is, while it's being publicized that there's a lot of SBA funding out there, there really isn't a lot of loans that are being made by the SBA. So this is a surefire method for a person to come up with the financing for their business. The second reasons why this is a good deal is, and I mentioned before, this is an equity injection. So when you start a business, the thing that chokes a new business typically is the debt service that is accumulated right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So not only does a new business owner have to come up with their payroll and all their operating expenses, they also have to come up with their loan payment on a monthly basis. So with this vehicle, there is no loan payment, so they are on a much quicker path to profitability, and they are in a position of, when they start their business, doing it from a much stronger place.
Yeah, someone who does a lot of loans for people, I see that it's not only is it harder, but yeah, that's they hit that chunk every month, and that first year especially is tough. Yeah,
absolutely, and then the other thing that, and again, when you talk about loans, that we like to look at it like this. You know, when you borrow money, you pay that and then half again, typically with the SBA, back again. So if you borrow $100,000, you're going to pay back $150,000. So you're paying back more money than, you know, than well, not more money, but you're paying back, like I said, half again what you borrowed. So with this program, all of that goes back into the business. So we haven't really talked about exit strategy, but it's a major factor. And let's say just using the $100,000 that we've been using here, a person buys a business for $100,000 and sells it 10 years down the road when they're just ready to retire or move on for $200,000. Well, the proceeds of that sale are going to go back, based on stock ownership, are going to go back in that 401k plan. So if the 401k plan had a 95% ownership stake of that original $100,000, $190,000 is going to go back into the 401k plan as return on investment for its purchase of the stock in the corporation. So I look at that in contrasted against an SBA loan over the same period, where an owner would pay $150,000 back in debt, so they lose $50,000 right there, and they sell the business for $200,000, but they only get $150,000 out of it. So they're only making a $50,000 profit. So that's one of the things I look at. You really pay yourself that money by borrowing it from your 401k plan. And I use the term borrowing. That's not really what you're doing, but you know, by investing it that way, it puts you in a stronger position.
I've often said to people too, you know, that you have your money in the stock market, and you know, in general, I think it's a good thing, but you know, it's out of your control, and sometimes it's nothing you can do anything about. But sometimes, what better way to invest is invest in yourself, and you can control it. So
that's an excellent that's an excellent point, Jim. I mean, one of the things that I often say to folks is, if you were going to go out and invest $100,000 in Coca-Cola, how many cases of Coca-Cola would you have to buy? You'd have any kind of impact whatsoever on that stock. You couldn't buy enough. But in your business, every decision you make every day has an impact on how your $100,000 is performing. And so you're in control yourself, and it puts you in a greater position.
Yeah. And just jumping around, just, I guess typically, I mean, people could – They could borrow against their 401k or IRA, but then they have to pay back interest, and there's a certain, you know, margin amount that they're allowed to buy, and then it, obviously if they're to pull it out, they'd pay taxes and a withdrawal penalty, correct? And so we don't have to worry about any of that with this here.
That's correct. This program isn't a loan, and it isn't a taxable distribution where you're going to be suffering any tax or penalty. Now, the thing about loans is you can't actually borrow money from a IRA. You can borrow money from a 401k plan, but you can only borrow 50% of the value or $50,000, whichever is less. So the maximum person could borrow from a 401k plan is $50,000, and it's pretty tough to find a concept that you can open up for $50,000.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's interesting. Tell me about now. Guidant does some unsecured loans too, because time to time, you know, there's someone needs some working capital, or they just need a little bit, you know, $50,000, $75,000, whatever, mm-hmm. for a business project.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. We've been doing unsecured loans for the last 18 months or so, and again, those are pretty solid compared to what we've seen with SBA funding lately. So, the unsecured loan product that we have really is as simple as clients having credit scores in the 700s, and they have to have some type of revolving credit that's under 40% utilized. Now, if they do meet those three criteria, they can be eligible for between $50,000 and $100,000. And we've had some clients get $100,000 and $125,000. So just a few weeks ago, we had someone get $117,000. So it's a program that's been working very well for, like you said, operating capital or smaller concepts, right? I mean, if somebody's going to open up a $85,000 to $125,000 franchise, this is a great vehicle for them as well.
Okay, so basically over 700 and the debt to income ratio sort of thing, is that what you're looking at primarily?
Yes, primarily, and you know they obviously they don't necessarily have to be working. It's helpful if they are, if they have a spouse. You know, spousal income also can have a good impact on that. but we can use stated income. So if they're opening a business and it's a franchise particularly where they're going to be able to say, you know, based on the FDD that this is what they're going to expect to make, that stated income, they can, you know, they can, it'll work pretty well. One of the things that we were finding with some of the other unsecured products out there last year were if a person didn't have a job, which is a lot of times when folks are starting a business, they have just been laid off or they aren't working while they're contemplating the startup of a business, they aren't able to get unsecured loans. So we changed the program a little bit that way.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Is it a big process? Is it, what's kind of the application of that sort of thing?
Well, for the unsecured loan product, it's a pretty basic loan credit application. So it's pretty straightforward. And typically, based on that, we can get an evaluation done within and get an idea for what we can secure for them within 3 days. We guarantee $50,000. We don't guarantee $100,000, but we can guarantee up to $50,000. And then typically clients that are guaranteed $50,000 and have scores in the high 700s are the ones that kind of push up into the $100,000 range and whatnot. So that's the process. There's no origination fees. We do have our fee for getting providing loan is $4,995, so it's the same as the 401k program. But there's no origination fees. The loan interest rates are much lower typically than other unsecured loans. Our loan rates tend to be 6-9%, and
okay,
with a teaser rate typically in the first year of 1-3%.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Well, good. So besides those, I mean, do you have any other products? I knew about those, you know, the 401k IRA type thing and the unsecured, but do you have any other services that you now offer?
The other services that we provide tend to be partner based. So we work with partners to secure equipment leasing. We also work with partners to secure SBA funding when possible, and though, you know, like I said, depending on the concept. Frankly, what we've found, SBA funding, unless the business is going to be, the borrower is going to borrow more than $350,000 and have real estate involved, they're going to have a very challenging time getting an SBA funding. So that's what we've found. So we have been using that a lot less, especially over the last 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Now, the equipment leasing has been a little bit more productive, but, you know, clients have to consider that they're going to be paying a little bit higher interest rate typically on equipment leases, and those tend to be anywhere from 9-19% and tend to hover somewhere in the 12-14% range. So that's one of the things that you have to consider with an equipment lease. Now, one of the pluses to equipment leases is you're having a write-off every month on your from a tax perspective. Your
yes.
business gets that write-off every month as opposed to having a depreciating asset if you went and borrowed the money and then bought a piece of equipment. So, I mean, there's pluses and minuses, and the owner has to be real diligent. And usually folks have a pretty good team supporting them, that, you know, to give them the advice that they need on how to structure their financing. But we do the best we can to put them in the package that makes the most sense for what we know about the client when they contact us. So we advise them on the 401k financing, the unsecured, and then equipment leasing or SBA, but based on what we learn from the client as we talk to them.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah. So, yeah, I know the leasing too, that, you know, there's some balance sheet advantages, and sometimes if the equipment, if it becomes obsolete in 1 or 2 years or something, like computers especially, you know, or other equipment, it makes sense to lease it instead of buy it. And yeah,
correct.
There's lots of advantages to leasing that I think people overlook.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, they see the high interest rates and say, wait a minute.
Yeah,
but there's some backside and benefits for sure.
And they usually less down payment or no down payment sometimes. And so, yeah, there's different ways to
correct.
Leasing's better. So it sounds like you're trying to make a, you know, kind of a one-stop shop, trying to help or have at least solutions for different types of situations and stuff. So
that's correct. Well, that's what we found most people want. We work with a lot of franchise partners and franchise consultants, business brokers throughout the country, and they really want to have one place where they can go trust people to give their clients the best advice and provide them with a product that is going to work for them.
Oh, good. That's good. Yeah, my role is trying to educate them and let them know what's out there. So that I, you know, some people just say, all right, there's the bank loan. I got turned on, so I'm done. But so trying to talk with people like you that show them, no, that you're not done. There's lots of other choices and alternatives. So that's good.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand that they have a lot of choices. Like we were just talking about with the equipment leasing, for example. So often people would say, oh, you have to borrow money, or oh, you have to do the 401k, and they kind of pigeonhole them into one thing,
yeah.
and it just doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, that's great. I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem.
And I think this will be helpful to lots of people. You know, that they can read it and they can have someone else try to explain it, but have someone like you that does it every day and explain it like this, that I think it's a little bit clearer. So this will be great to share
sure.
with people.
Sure. No, my pleasure. Anytime you have anyone that needs an additional questions answered or anything like that, feel free to direct them our way, and I'll either handle them myself or get them with what one of the things that Guidant does that's a little bit unique is we have a staff of senior consultants here, and all of them have between 4 to 6 years of industry experience, so they've all done this for quite some time, and they're all experts on the 401k financing. Quite a few of them have banking backgrounds, so they're really in a unique position to advise clients specifically on the best choices for them for financing.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good to have you can talk to someone that speaks a couple different languages, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, good, Greg. I'll be in touch, and I'll try to sit on one of your webinars too. That sounds neat. But
yeah, Dave Nielsen, one of our founders, does quite a few of these webinars. I do some of them too. Dave's quite impressive. I think the one that he's doing today is about financing, also, is it not? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. He's doing several this week, but you'd do well to listen to one of those because he does a very good job.
Okay. Good. Well, good. If I can help you, that's great. But I'll be referring some people your way, I'm sure. So.
Well, sounds good, Jim. Appreciate you setting this up. I'm happy to contribute.
Good. I'll be in touch, Greg. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. That was a great call. That was recorded just briefly, and Greg can speak probably lots more about that information, but I wanted to give you an overview of how the programs work and what options you have. And again, I mentioned it in the call with Greg, but you know, investing in yourself is a big deal, and I think that's important. On occasion, I hear people say, "Oh no, I don't want to use my 401k money or my IRA in a business." Well, then I think you should consider the business, because you know, if you don't want to invest in yourself, then should you really be doing this project? You know, why get encumbered with a bunch of debt in something that you won't invest in yourself? So it's a big question. It's something you do have to think and talk about with your loved ones and things, but it's a good option. So again, I want to leave you with this thought: just continue moving forward, continue taking action. Even if you're making a mistake, failures are an asset, and you're learning by doing. So that's the best advice I can give anyone in any situation. Doors will open while you're moving ahead, but if you get stuck in the paralysis of analysis, you're going to be lost. So thanks for taking the time. I know it's valuable. I appreciate you listening to me. Again, feel free to email me, to phone me, send me questions. Maybe there's another topic you want to hear about. You can go to doeforthedreamblog.com, or my email is jimfry@hotmail.com. Shoot me a question. Maybe it'll be the next podcast or the next blog article. Thank you. Have a good one.